All right, welcome everyone. Welcome to our Evangel family. You know, we always got something great going on in our church. We got life groups on Wednesdays, prayer meetings on Fridays, even for the youth on Saturday afternoons. There's always something great going on in Evangel, and we hope you're going to be blessed, you're going to be encouraged, you're going to be challenged, and most importantly, you're going to grow. Amen? Before we go further, let's do our confession. The Bible's with me. Let's do our confession. We're going to declare the confession that we have for our church. Can we flash that up, Daniel? Thank you very much. Okay, let's do this on the count of three. One, two, three. We will win because we believe what the Word of God says about who we are, what we have, and what we can do in Christ Jesus. Amen. Walk and agree with what God says. Amos 3:3. How many of you? That when we walk in agreement with God, we've been learning. Oh, getting some feedback. Better? All right. Should I use the mic? Maybe I'll just use the mic instead. All right. Just so we...
So I got the wonderful challenge of trying to keep my message as short as possible, simple as possible, shortest amount of time. We can do it. So I need everyone's eyes on me. Okay. So as we did, you know, how many of you were really encouraged by what you saw in the Perth Easter Parade? Amen? All of you were a part of that. And I think God is challenging us for us to lift up our eyes and see what God is doing in our city. You know, sometimes we just keep looking to the ground, just keep, just basically about our own life. We can't see what God is doing. But when we gather together, you know, the Perth Easter Parade wasn't just a Christian session. It was a gathering of people across our city to declare Jesus. Amen? All right, so this morning, actually, before I even go into the title of my message, I want to go into the prophetic word that Pastor Joseph declared. It was November 27th, 2011, and this was actually at midnight. This was a prophetic word from Pastor Joseph. This was more than 6 years ago, and we talk about this, but I want to reemphasize it again this morning. It says, "There is no limit to how much God can use a person or a group of people who can receive support, correction, praise, and persecution with the same gracious spirit." I'll repeat that again. There is no limit to how much God can use a person or a group of people who can receive support, correction, praise, and persecution with the same gracious spirit. You know, even though that word was given over 6 years ago by Pastor Joseph, how many of you believe that's still as relevant today as it was over 6 years ago? Can I hear an amen to that? You know, I'm realizing from my own life that this is not a one-off thing. This is not a one-off thing where I said, I've nailed it, I've hit it, I'm really good at it. You know, it doesn't matter when I'm 10, now I'm 30, or maybe when I'm 50 or 70, 80, doesn't matter how old I am. This thing applies. It applies throughout our entire life. God can still use you. You know why? We saw that demonstrated in the Perth Easter Parade. People came together, you know, who were willing to receive, support, praise, correction, all those different things. God can use a group of people and a person together. Amen? All right, so this morning, I'm not sure if I can top off the message of the galaxies and all that, but I'm going to talk to something just a little bit closer to Earth, actually a bit closer to our bodies. The title of my message today is actually called Growing in Stature, as I talked about last time, but this one is talking about aligning our vision. So, you know, earlier in this year, we learned about the battle of our mind, right? We were blessed at Life Group. We watched Pastor John Osteen talking about guarding our mind, how one thought from the devil can hold us captive. How many of you know the devil's a killer? Not that we need to be afraid. We're a child of God, but you know the devil's a killer? The devil is a killer. The Bible specifically says so. The Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And sometimes we forget that we're living in a spiritual battle. The life that we live is spiritual warfare. Like I was talking about just then, we can become so preoccupied with our life, day in, day out, work in, work out, all those things that just take up the schedule of our life, we forget, what on earth am I actually here for? We forget that what God has given us the assignment to take dominion over the principalities, extend the kingdom of God, the principalities over our families, our communities, our city, and our nation. You know God's called all of you to do that? Don't think it's just for pastors or for leaders or anyone. God has called every single one of you to be a part of that work. Amen? Amen. Do you believe that? All right. If you don't believe it, it's not going to happen. You got to believe it. The Bible says so. God's called all of us to do it. not just for leaders, okay? So we can become so preoccupied with just everything that we're doing in daily life, we forget, what am I here for? And you know what? When we do that, sometimes that's the reason why we fall into depression, because we can't see the bigger picture. You know, there's a spiritual attack because we're just so preoccupied with my own life, all right? So the devil wants to get you so busy with the things of the world, you forget what on earth you're here for. We're living for the next paycheck, the next holiday, the next great holiday overseas or wherever, you know? Or maybe for us Asians, we're guilty of this. I'm living for the next meal I'm going to eat, you know? What am I going to cook for lunch or for dinner? That great meal, all those different things. You know, I've been guilty of that. God's been teaching me that. But praise God, all it takes is one word from God, or one message from God that can turn our life around. Amen? Amen. So, as the title of today's message alludes to, God is calling us to align our vision. And when I say vision, some of you all, I want to clear what that word means. So I'm not just talking about vision for my own life, ministry, etc., nothing like that. I want to talk about our spiritual eyesight. God is calling us to align our spiritual eyesight, because if we're to grow in stature, our eyes need to be able to see the correct things. Now, in the Bible, I think in Matthew chapter 6, it talks about the eye being the light of the body. Light of the body. And if that eye is full of darkness, how great is that darkness in the body? You know, the Bible talks about that. But today, I actually want to talk about the other facet, which talks about our mind. How our mind affects the way we see things. Romans 12, as we know, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, talks about the renewing of our mind. If we don't renew our mind, we're going to be conformed to this world. And my key text actually comes from Mark chapter 7. Is that up on screen? Yep, Mark chapter 7, verse 14 to 15. And Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." Sometimes when we entertain thoughts from the enemy, the thoughts that the enemy puts inside of us, puts inside our mind, it can begin to shape the way we see things and how we view life. That's why it's important to guard our mind. How many of you know two people can look at the same thing and come up with totally different conclusions? Yeah? Let me illustrate that very quickly. Next one. Okay. Very quickly, how many of you saw a white cup? Put your hand up. How many of you saw two people with black faces facing each other? Put your hand up. Okay? Same picture. Two different things. Next example. Very quickly, how many of you see a rabbit? That's the first thing you saw. How many of you see a duck? All right. Looks like the second group's always stronger. Very good. Can you see that? Can you see what I'm saying? We can both look at the same thing and come up with totally different conclusions. That's why our mind needs to be renewed with the Word of God, so we can see the way that God sees things, so we can walk in agreement with God. Amen? So the way you think shapes the way you view things. That's why it's important to guard our mind. Two people can look at the same problem. One can say it's impossible. It's too hard. Another person can look and say it's possible. There's hope. Can you see that two different sides? I've been guilty on the first end. Oh, it's too hard. It's too hard. It's too hard. Too hard. And maybe I've been corrected by pastors. No, can. You can do it. All right? So two people can look at the exact same things, two different outcomes. One can look at the life of Jesus, can look at Jesus Christ and say he was just a good person, a teacher, a prophet, like many others in the world. But another can look at Jesus and say, truly he's the Son of God, the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world, and I must give my life to him. I love that quote from C.S. Lewis. He talks about the galaxies. He says, C.S. Lewis, the famous writer, said that, "I believe in God, I believe in Jesus in the same way I believe the sun. Not because I can see it, but because of its light, I can see everything around it." All right? So can you see that? The way we think can shape the way in how we see things. So what's our vision like? What's our vision like? We can talk about our spiritual eyesight. You know, during my high school years, I was actually homeschooled. So about 12 to 17, I was actually homeschooled. I didn't actually go to high school. So praise God for my parents, you know, who took the brave decision. I resented them for it at the beginning. They took me out of school, away from all my friends. And, you know, but we were homeschooled. And praise God for pastors who were very supportive of homeschooling families. And praise God, through this, I really learned a lot, spiritual and just every application. You know, one of the first things we learned in homeschooling was about our eyesight. The conditions that can affect our eyes. You know, there's an amazing parallel with what happens to our natural eyes that can also happen to our spiritual eyesight. So what's our vision like? Sorry, this is Daniel jumped ahead. So this morning we're going to do a spiritual eye check. Who wants to do a spiritual eye check with me? Yeah? We're going to do a spiritual eye check, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this from any higher platform. God has dealt with me and still dealing with me in the same area that we're going to do this together, all right? So what's our vision like? How is our mind affecting our spiritual vision? How we see things will affect how we grow in God. I'll repeat that again. How we see things affects how we grow in God. So the five types of spiritual eye conditions, as Daniel has jumped in. Number one, me vision. Me vision. In the physical, it's called short-sightedness. I think some of us may have that condition. I got glasses to correct that. The Greek version is called myopia. So kids, if you go tell the optometrist, can you help me? I think I may have a little condition of myopia. The optometrist might faint because this stuff you only study in university, all right? So myopia, short-sightedness. What's the natural aspects of that? The inability of the eye to focus on distant objects. You only can see things close. You can't see things further away. What happens when we have spiritual myopia? Spiritual me vision, spiritual nearsightedness. We focus on things that only affect me. How many of you can say that you've done it before? I've done that before so many times. All I care about, all that's preoccupied in my mind is things that affect me. My ministry, my needs, my family, my convenience. I only like it when ministers give a prophetic word about me, not about the church. I don't really flow with that. I like it when they say stuff about me. I only like the songs that I like. If the church is singing a song that I don't like, I'm not going to sing along. I only like messages that apply to me. If someone is up here talking about a message I can't relate to, forget it. How many of us are guilty of that? I am. Me, 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 me. So many times I've focused on that, and my parents, pastors, and leaders have corrected me on that, still correcting me on that. If we're not careful, it develops into a toxic attitude. And sometimes when we have this, it can be born out of self-condemnation. Sometimes we say, I'm not good enough. God can't use me. You know, even with that, that's a lie from the enemy. And again, it ends up focusing about me. Me vision, spiritual me vision. But praise God, for any of you who are experiencing that, your best days are ahead, amen? And if you put God first, what we learn, put God first, give him your best, have a good attitude. You're going to see God take you to places you've never imagined. But it starts off with that attitude first. Let God deal with us in that area. First one, me vision. Philippians chapter 2 verse 21 says, for everyone looks out for their own interests and not those of Jesus Christ. I forget what God is doing in my church. Is this your church? Yeah, is this your family? I forget what God is doing in my church. I forget what God is doing in my communities. I forget what God is doing in my city. I forget what God is doing in my nation. I forget what God is doing with the people around me. Poor me. No one talks to me. No one ever listens to me. Do you see that attitude? Me, 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 me. I'm all alone. I'm all alone. No one wants to talk to me. And can I just say something in this part? How many of you know that you can actually be alone and not be alone? Does that make sense? You can be alone, not be alone. It's a mental attitude you develop. God, guard your mind from the attacks of the enemy. You develop a strong mindset from a strong heart. You can withstand those thoughts. You don't feed those thoughts that will drive you into depression because you've got the Spirit of God in you. That's what God is calling us to grow into stature. Can you say amen to that? All right? God's calling us to be warriors. Okay. And even pastors just recently reminded us, you know, someday we're all going to die alone. When we die, you've got to prepare yourself. It's going to be alone. You may not have your family with you. You'll be alone. Get ready for yourself. Better early now than later, okay? What's the key to breaking this? Lift up your eyes. What did we just learn this morning? Lift up your eyes to the galaxies, the stars, the sun, and the moons. Just bathe in the majesty of who God is. Then look at those around you. There is someone who is always worse off than you. Don't think I'm the worst off there is. Don't think that. There is someone who is always worse off than you. Go and help them. Go and serve them. Serve others, and it'll break. that mindset of, oh, poor me. Oh, poor me. Me vision. Myopia. Spiritual short-sightedness. Let God challenge us in that. Number two, overvision. In the Greek, it's called hyperopia, far-sighted vision. For those of you who are long-sighted, can't see things really good up close, you can see things quite excellent far away. In the natural, the ability for the eye to focus on close objects, but you can see things far away. What happens when we have spiritual hyperopia, spiritual far-sightedness? When we overlook the needs of those who are close to us, especially our own family members. It's the other extreme, the other spectrum, extreme of myopia, spiritual myopia. I can neglect my responsibilities in the home. But many times I've been focused on doing every other thing other than the things at home. Work, church, whatever that is. My parents have to correct me. You're neglecting your responsibilities at home. My responsibilities as a son and daughter of the house. This applies to the local house as well, in the church as well. So physical house, your immediate family, think about it from the aspect of your spiritual family too, this spiritual house. We can focus on every other ministry, chase every other conference, every other thing in the world, and we neglect the very responsibilities that are us in our own local house here in Evangel as a son and daughter of this house. We can become so busy acknowledging every other minister. Oh, praise God for that pastor, minister. I've been so blessed. I can fail to acknowledge my own spiritual parents, Pastor Joseph, Pastor Machen. I've been guilty of that many times before. Spiritual overvision. Do we have that? Do we have that? 1 Timothy 5 verse 8 says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. This is our testimony, people. This is our testimony. If we're doing these things, it affects how we share the gospel. It affects our life witness for Jesus Christ. Let God deal with us as he's dealing with me in this area. I believe this principle also applies to how we see faults in other people. We're unable to see the condition of our own spiritual life because we're too busy seeing the faults of everyone else. Oh, this message applies for someone else today. This brother and sister, this message is a great message for them. How does it apply to you? How does it help you grow? We're too busy focusing on other things. Too busy complaining about everybody else. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 to 5. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Spiritual overvision. Do we have that? How's our spiritual eye check going so far? Pretty sobering, right? As it is for me. Number three, straying vision. The Greek word is called strabismus. This condition, maybe you know this quite well, called lazy eye vision. You can see in the picture when someone has a lazy eye. The condition in which the eyes do not focus on the same object at the same time. What's this the result of in the natural? It's the result of the lack of muscle condition with the eye. It causes a blurred vision where you can't see clearly. It sends confusion, actually, signals to the brain because it's trying to figure out what's the correct vision. What exactly should I be looking at? What happens when we have spiritual straying vision? It's when we have one eye focused on God and another eye focused on the world. It's literally trying to serve two masters. Like that straying eye, our spiritual muscles become weakened. We're focusing on the world. We're trying to focus on God. Proverbs 4, verse 25 to 27 says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. It's like climbing that mountain, right? You know, when I climbed that mountain in New Zealand in October last year, when I was climbing up that very steep descent path, I had to keep my feet on that path. If I went to the left or the right, what would happen? I would have rolled straight off the mountain, okay? So we've got to keep our paths straight. When we have spiritual double vision, it causes confusion in our spirit. If you ever wonder why is it maybe I'm always confused, why am I always confused? If we were ever wondering about that, could it be that we have one eye on God and one eye on the cares and loving the things of the world? Could it be that? Ask yourself that question. Ask God. So be honest. Ask God to reveal to you, is my eye on the world? You know, there's a time during my uni days, which is funny, we're in a university right now. During my uni days, you know, at university, they always teach you to think big, dream big. You can do the impossible. That's a good thing. But sometimes you get a little carried away. You know, I want to get that dream job. I want to get that dream house. My dream life. Dream wife. If those are not sanctified and surrendered to God, it will only draw us away from God. There's one thing I've learned, and I'm glad I've learned this now. I'm still learning this, but I'm glad I've learned this early. God's blessing is always a test. I'll repeat that again. God's blessing is always a test. What do I mean by that? What happens when you get that dream house, that dream job, that dream paycheck, that dream car, the dream life, the dream wife? What happens when you get all of those things? God will test you. Will you still put him first in the midst of the blessing? If we don't, what I've learned is that very blessing will become a curse to us. The very thing that God blessed us with, if we don't yield it back to God, it will be the very thing that draws us away from God. Because God will test us. Are you still going to put me first in the midst of the blessing? Can you say amen to that? What's the key? The key is that, how do I get over this straying vision? The key is nothing until you make a decision to do something about it. Nothing is going to change. How's God going to change my heart? He won't. Until you make a decision that I want to follow God. I want to forsake the other things. Make a choice, because a choice requires action, physical action, decision that I'm going to do something. It's like that mountain, right? The example that I used last time I shared. I can keep talking about the mountain. I'm going to go up the mountain. I'm going to go higher. I'm going to higher. I'm going to go glory to glory. I'm going to climb to that descent. But I didn't get up the top of that mountain until I actually said, I'm actually going to climb up that mountain. Until I moved my body in that direction, made my way up that path, descended that, how many was it? Was it 7,000 feet? That 7,000 feet to get up to the top of Ben Lomond, that mountain. Straying vision. Do we have that? Be honest with yourself. Number four, hardened vision. Greek word is called presbyopia. It's a combination of when you have nearsightedness and farsightedness, so short sight, long sight. This happens, the natural condition is when we have a hardened lens, which loses its elasticity over time. So you can't focus far, can't focus close. It's unable to properly receive light into the eyes because of that. What happens when we have spiritual hardened vision, spiritual presbyopia? It's for us believers as Christians. We start the race well. But if our hearts are not continually softened by the oil of the Holy Spirit, we can become hard and resistant to God's promptings, and we cannot finish our race well. Remember that prophetic word? That prophetic word that Pastor Joseph declared? Let me read that again. There is no limit to how much God can use a person or group of people who can receive support, correction, praise, and persecution with the same gracious spirit. Folks, it's not a one-time thing. It's a continual process through the rest of your life, that you'll be a lover of correction and lover of truth. Let that be your heart's cry. Let this be the cry of your hearts to the day you meet Christ. To the day you meet Christ. And it's not that we won't be saved. Don't get me wrong. But we can never fully enter into the more of God's promises. God has so more for us. But because of our hardened hearts, because of my hardened heart, I can't enter into more of what God has for me. We can keep doing the same things over and over again, thinking that's what keeps us right with God. But what God is after is our heart. God is after our heart, not just doing things. That's part of it, but it's not all of it. You know, in the corporate world, you know, they talk about the saying, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results each time. Sometimes we can do things over and over again and expect God to do different things. You know, God says, I want more. I want more. Let that be a challenge to us. Sometimes we confuse doing the same thing over and over again with faithfulness. You know, but what we've learned very recently is that faithfulness doesn't just mean being regular. We equate faithfulness to being regular. It's only part of it. It's only part of it. Faithfulness means being full of faith. And what is full of faith? What is faith? Believing. believing in the works of God and doing it, carrying out, obedience, action. That's what being full of faith is. That's what being faithful is. I'm learning that more and more. We need to ask ourselves, what's stopping us from going forward? If we find ourselves, is our hearts hard towards God? What's stopping us from going forward? Again, don't do what I've done many times. Don't try and justify. Try to make excuses. You can blame everything in the world for the reason that maybe our heart condition is where it is. Don't do that. Just come honestly before God. God is searching our hearts this morning. He's searching our hearts. Is it pride? Is it fear? Is it bitterness? Unforgiveness? Stubbornness? All these things. Allow God to search our hearts this morning. When our hearts are hard towards God, do you know that it affects the way we treat people, those around us? Because if our hearts are hard towards God, we can't truly love our brothers and sisters. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Do we have hardened vision? Let's be honest with ourselves. Be honest before God. Last one. How's our spiritual eye check going so far? Good? Let's get to the last one together. We can do this together. Come on. Number 5, clouded vision. Clouded vision. In the natural, we know this as cataracts or blocked vision. I think some of y'all may know people who've had cataracts. I know plenty of my own relatives who've had cataract operations. In the natural, it's a condition of a cloudy lens that blocks light from passing through to the retina. The only way to restore sight is to actually surgically remove that cloudy lens and insert a corrective lens that corrects that sight. So what happens when we have spiritual clouded vision, spiritual cataracts? When we set our eyes on the evil that's in the world, our eyes become clouded. It stops us from seeing clearly. It starts to limit the light from entering in. And it comes in all forms. Pastors talked about this. What we watch on TV, movies, the games we play, the music we listen to, even if it comes in the form of news. And one thing I've learned is that people who, if you thrive on negative news because it's sensational and you want to sound like you're like CNN, like the first to know, you know, some people like they thrive in, oh, did you know this disaster is happening? And they say it with a smile on their face. If you thrive on those kind of things, where's room in your heart for the good news? Where is room in your heart for the good news? Not saying you close your eyes to it, but is that what you're feeding yourself on? Is that what you're feeding yourself on? Don't be deceived that, you know, just because it's news, that it's a good thing. And take it from me, I love news. I love political news as well, okay? So, you know, so if those things are what we feed ourselves on, then we don't carry that spirit of hope that's within us. And it affects us being sensitive to the things of the spirit when we have clouded spiritual vision. You know, when I was in uni, during my final year, last 2 years in uni, I was actually working full-time. I was working full-time at the IT job, and I was like a level 1 help desk support. So I'm staring at 3 screens all day. 3 screens, large 19-inch monitors all day, you know, on the phone, and then I'm still studying. And this is a bad combination, I'm studying IT as well. So when I get home, I'm on the computer another 6 hours. You know, during those 2 years, my eyesight degraded so badly, the optometrist was just shaking his head saying, like, Adrian, you got to stop staring at the screen. So then when I got a new job, I got moved up to a different position where I didn't have to stare at the screen, like, all the time. I was doing project management. My eyesight actually steadied and didn't actually, was in some case, at one point, it actually improved. It actually improved. The optometrist was very happy, okay? So what I'm saying is that the things that we cloud our vision with can affect our eyesight. In the same way, our spiritual eyesight, if we're constantly looking at things that are not of God or filling ourselves with that, it can affect our sensitivity to the things of the Spirit. We're not able to see what God wants us to see. Does that make sense? It's these kind of spiritual conditions that stops us from becoming overcomers. What does overcoming mean? As we learned with Clarice Flute, it literally means come over, to cross over to the other side. And sometimes we've been hit enough times in the head, so many times, to know that what we're doing doesn't work anymore. And there's something different we need to do for our own spiritual lives. All of us have to take that own responsibility. How can we neglect so great a salvation as scripture we read this morning? But praise God, there is a better way. Amen? Praise God, there is a better way, and God can restore both our spiritual and our physical eyesight into eyes that become full of light, that can receive what God has for us, and full of love for Him. Amen? Amen? How's the eye check been this morning? Has it challenged you? Is it challenging you to grow? Is it challenging you to come before God and be honest before God and say, God, I know if this part of my life isn't right, I'm coming for you, I'm confessing this is where I'm going wrong. And I'm determining in my heart to make a change. In conclusion, the key to all of this is make a choice. Take action to do something. Repent. First thing is to repent. That's what I've had to do many times. Repent. Get this right with God. Don't make excuses. Don't justify. We're really good at doing that. I'm really good at doing that. But God's going to corner us. Don't let it come to a point where God corners us, to the point where we say, Okay, God, I admit I was wrong. Sometimes I can be so stubborn that I don't want to let go of my own will and my own pride. I'm so guilty of that. Repent. Come under the blood of Jesus that cleanses and washes us and restores and makes us new again. So we're going to do, we're going to declare some things over our body. We're going to pray what Dr. Clarice Foote prayed, if you watch the second part of the session. 2018 is going to be a different year, amen? We're going to do things differently, not the old things. We're entering into new seasons and new paths. This will be our year of turnaround. Amen? Yeah. What I want you to do is I want you to lay your hand on your heart and your other hand on your head, baby. Do this together. Follow after me. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to be under the direction of this body. I speak to my eyes. I speak to my ears. I speak to my mouth. I speak to my mind. Come under the discipline of the Holy Ghost. He is the Lord and giver of life. I command my soul to agree with God. My intellect, my reason, my emotions. I agree with God. Can you say amen to that? We're going to sing a song. We'll sing Be Thou My Vision.
Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Nought be all else to me.